It's Monday, October 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. So, show number 712, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Now with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use a promo code PODCAST. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Honolulu. Am I like... can't talk tonight. Everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to our Ohana, all of our longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And thanks for being part of the family. Of course, if you are listening to the show outside the United States, we want to welcome our listeners from around the world. And of course, if you are recently following me on Google Plus, we want to welcome you to the show. Because I know a number of you are migrating over here and checking the show out. So we want to welcome you to the show as well. Hey, one thing you can do is if you want to stay abreast of what's going on at the show, it's real easy to get involved and to kind of lock in your membership here and making sure that you're getting all the content and getting access to all the content that I produced on Geek News Central. And get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight. And this goes out in a direct mailing right after the show. It contains basically all the links in the show of all the articles that I'm going to cover. You're going to find a link on the header of the website that says newsletter. Just click on that and that will load the page where you can come in and sign up for the Geek News Central show announcement only or the Gadget Professor announce only mailing list. You get on both those and you'll stay abreast of two shows here at GNC. As well, when you're on the website, all you have to really do to get subscribed to the podcast itself is you find a big orange block right there in the second column of the website that contains all the links to basically get access to the show either via an RSS feed, via iTunes, via Zune Marketplace. And really, this is a way to guarantee that you'll never miss a single episode. And, you know, even if you don't listen to every show, you'll be tuned in so that at least when you get some extra time to listen on your commute or at the gym or wherever you may be, you'll be able to check in with us. This show is produced every Monday and Thursday evening, and it's released Tuesday and Friday morning. Usually it's available well before 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're actually even getting the video out before everyone really is pretty much awake on the East Coast. So you'll be able to get access to that as well. Of course, by basically having the newsletter subscription, you really are kind of reminded the show's available as well. We, of course, want to let you all know that we're streaming live tonight at live.geeknewscentral.com. And we're also up on our secondary stream on Ustream as well. If you have comments about the show tonight, all you really have to do is you can Twitter me at geeknews. And come on over to Twitter and follow. That's a great way to stay abreast of things that I'm announcing and talking about. And try not to put a lot of fluff in there, of course. And then, of course, you can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And like a number of you did this past episode, you've dialed into the hotline and basically left your comments. And we're actually going to go into some of those comments on basically your thoughts on Steve Jobs' death. And we'll have about 5 minutes of call-ins. We'll do that right after one of the sponsor messages before we get into the content tonight. So we'll get into that here shortly. But again, if you want to leave your own comment, 619-342-7365. Of course, you can watch us on the Roku and on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Looky TV, a number of set-top boxes and devices. And as soon as the Google TV update happens, you'll be able to watch on our channel over there as well. We're ready to go and to be on Google TV. So we're excited about the upcoming update to Honeycomb for Google TV devices and for those of you that have Google TVs. So, and it's a great time to pick one up, $99. And from everything we're hearing, Logitech is going to be updating their device. I haven't heard anything immediately from Sony, but I can't imagine them not rolling the upgrade. And what a great way to really kind of get access to a lot of content and for a very cheap price. And again, we're available on the Roku and the Boxy and Samsung Smart TV as well. Just got to look for the Tech Podcast channel over there. Well, it's been an interesting week here, actually weekend, and a lot to share with you here in a few moments. But one thing I do talk about, of course, right off the bat here is talk about GoDaddy.com, and they're a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and you all have been terrific about supporting me and their products and services. And we announced a special that's going to be ending here in 3 days. So you only have a few days to get access to the special deal on the GoDaddy online file folder special. And you'll find a special code in the show notes tonight that'll be able to take you over to GoDaddy, and you'll be able to get their deluxe plan for $1.99 per month. That's if you sign up for a 12-month or longer plan. That's a price of $2.49. So even though it's only a savings of about 50 cents, it still is, you're getting the deluxe version for the economy price. And really for $24 a year, what you're getting is 100 gigs of storage space, unlimited sharing. You can do automated or manual backups. If you want to buy additional storage, you can. So you can add if you need more. And there's lots of cool things about this product. You can access it via computer, website, FTP, an iPhone app. There's auto synchronization. It's PC and Mac compatible. There's built-in editing tools and lots of comparisons, ours versus theirs. There's some breakdowns on the difference between GoDaddy, Boxnet, Carbonite, Dropbox, and Mozy. And then a very detailed list of features here where you can, you know, maintain security, share with friends and coworkers, and so forth. So this is a great product, and we want to encourage you to get over to GoDaddy.com to pick one of those products or pick the product up. And when you get to the checkout counter, use the promo code GEEKFILE, GEEKFILE, and that'll get you access to the special $1.99 pricing as long as you sign up for a 12-month or longer plan. Now, if you don't pick up a GoDaddy online file service product, you can always go to geeknewcentral.com/GoDaddy, and you will find all of my promo codes that are there available for you. Geek5, Todd20, Todd, ComSale, ComSale 2, Geek Central, Aloha, Geek SSL 12. These are all great savings where you can save up to 20% on some purchases, $20 or more, $20 off on orders, $75 or more, $12.99 SSL certificates. These are some of the heavily used promo codes in the GoDaddy inventory. And we want you to encourage to use them and support the show. And we want to thank all of you for your longtime support of GoDaddy, and also thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Well, I tell you, I basically decided to take kind of being involved heavily on a day-to-day basis in the new media space. I really don't get a lot of time off per se. And the kids were out last week for basically the school's already been on here in Hawaii for 2 months. So they had their, I guess it's kind of like a fall break where they have a 1 week off. And so I really kind of took Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and really kind of just didn't really do too much in office stuff and tried to do as much stuff with the kids as possible. So I had kind of like a mini vacation, but I had a whole bunch of stuff pending. So I did have to work part of the day, a couple of days. And on Saturday, we announced the slate for the 7th Annual Podcast Awards over at podcastawards.com. So all those shows were announced, the 220 shows that made it. An amazing turnout this year. We had 1.44 million listeners nominate 2,698 shows, almost 2,700 shows. And there was actually a decrease this year in the number of total shows that were nominated, but an actual increase in the actual number of listeners. But that video is over there. And of course, we are going to roll out the voting here on the 10th. Excuse me, on the 12th. So let me look at the calendar. Yeah, on the 12th, the voting starts for 15 days. And then we're going to announce the winners at Blog World. One thing that I did was we used the Amazon streaming service that we're up on right now at live.geeknewscentral.com for the award announcements. Actually, the nominee announcements, because what we found is that Ustream is never, ever prepared for us. We warn them, we tell them we're coming, we tell them when it's going to go down, and invariably they fail us. And last year, at about 5,000 viewers, the stream went down. So this year, I basically ramped up the largest Amazon Flash Media stream that I could, basically used the biggest instance they had, which cost a few dollars an hour. And, you know, you don't want to run one of these a long time because you're going to rack up a huge bill. You know, it's like $1,000 a month or something like this when you're actually doing this 24/7, but we're only going to be up for 3 or 4 hours, so it's not a big deal. And I watched the stream. We brought the stream up an hour before the announcement, the slate announcement, and I was watching the stream numbers climb. Now, what you have to do is it doesn't give you like a counter, but it's telling you how much bandwidth you're using, and we were pushing a 550K stream, a 550 kilobits per second stream. So, you know, I'm sitting here kind of with a calculator doing the math. And just before we went live, actually, we were at about 5,000 viewers just before we went live. And then we peaked at about 13,000 viewers about 15 minutes into the program. And then it kind of started to drop off as we made more announcements and people find out whether their favorite shows had been announced or not. But not even a hiccup. And it was amazing. It was amazing to watch the chat and everything else. I had a couple of little flubs during the announcement, but all in all, it went well. And we're looking forward to opening up the voting here in a couple of days. So anyway, that brings me back to talking about Blog World a little bit, because what we're going to do on, I believe, the Friday of the show, and let me look at the calendar here. I believe that's Friday, November the 4th. We're going to announce the winners. We're not going to have the awards ceremony, but we're going to announce the winners, I think, on the 4th at Blog World. But I had posted a couple things on Google Plus where I was concerned about the agenda for Blog World and New Media Expo and not being very much new media stuff. They did put up the PodCamp list of sessions, which I think was 8 or 9. And really, by Sunday morning, my brain was about ready to explode. And I put a call in to Rick Calvert. He's the managing director. He's the lead guy at Blog World. And asked for Rick to call me. And today I spent probably about 30 minutes on the phone with Rick expressing my frustration, my concerns, you know, how the rest of the community is feeling and the response we're getting from people. And Rick and I basically at this point, I'm going to be submitting to him tomorrow morning a list of topics that I feel need to be covered at the show that will make it even more, make it worthwhile for a new media creator to come out and support the event and, you know, come out and get something out of it for their shows. So I'm going to be working with a couple other people over there, but you know, I really basically put my money where my mouth was, and I said, "Listen, now, you know, we'll step up, we'll find people if we need to help out and cover these sessions, find the right people, get them in, and trying to make this an event that that the new media creators can be really proud of." So I basically put something on Google Plus tonight about that. But if you're a content creator and you've been thinking about going to the show and said, boy, I really would like to learn about this, and specifically about a podcasting new media track, You definitely need to email me right away because I'll be sending that list into him tomorrow morning. But we'll see what happens with this and whether or not where this moves forward and how, you know, it's late in the game here. We're less than a month away, 3 weeks away now from the show. And so, you know, I can only do what I can do to try to help the process. And he's got another person that's going to be working the issue as well. It's really important to me. This is an important show for us and for the community. And Rick understands my sentiments, and he's going to bend over backwards to see what he can do between now and the show date to close the gap here. I want to talk to you guys real quick. This is kind of something I don't normally do on the show, but you know, I had to laugh because we were planning going to the beach today. As a matter of fact, I was at the beach all day with the kids today, and they go back to school tomorrow. And I had, late last week, I'd gotten my electricity bill, and my electricity bill is off the, oh my God, it's off the chart. And my wife is convinced it's this office, this studio that's driving the price up. And so what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to go out and spend the money and buy as many green switches and basically they're the same as like a normal power strip, but they're green. And so, you know, I went to Office Max, Office Depot, and they all like looking at me like I'm from Mars when I'm asking if they've got green power strips. I mean, they don't have a clue. And my wife had to go down to Target in the last, or before. I haven't been in Target like in forever. And so I had my son with me, and we had hit Office Max and Office Depot. I said, all right, let's go find mom at Target. And we went back to Target and helped her with, we're buying a mini grill, one of those little small mini Weber grills, $30 or whatever they cost. And I looked around the corner and I see these power strips there, and I kind of like, wow, what's that? I seen, you know, the green boxes. And so I walked over and I found these power strips from a company called Practical, PRACTECOL. And what it is, it's got two always on and six remote controlled switches. And here in the studio, part of my problem is many of the power strips and location. Now I got to be careful here where I can't get access to them. So what they did is they put together it's got a remote control for the power strip. And I thought, genius, absolute genius on this. And they come out with some other stuff too, where if you don't want to use a remote control, they've got another one that does a little press button thing that it sits on the floor and you can step on it and it'll turn the switch off. And so I bought everything Target had. And so I've been going through and changing stuff out and teaching the kids how to use these things. But this is the cat's meow. Now, I could turn off this whole bank of cameras just by pushing the off button. Now, we're not going to do that because we don't want to lose the cameras, obviously. But is this great for like your entertainment system where stuff is hid, you know, up underneath the entertainment center and you can't get to that switch that's a pain, or it's not on a light switch or something? I was shocked that Target had these. I went in on the website to look where else I could find them, see if they were at Walmart or if they were at any other retailer. Very few retailers have these, but they work. And I got to get more. And I think they were about $20 a piece, so they're actually not bad. I think the big one was maybe $30. Again, I took everything off the shelf they had and bought I'm basically going through the entire house and replacing every power strip. And, you know, I can have a couple that need to be on all the time, and the other ones we can, you know, make the flip and turn them off. This is pure genius, and this is the best product I've seen. And remember, we got to go CES and see a lot of different green switch technology and smart switches where you turn off the computer and it turns everything else off. This is better. And so anyway, long story short, this, if you're looking to save some money in your electricity bill, Practical, PRACTECOL.com is where you can find it. They sell these things at Target. And I think you can get them online as well. So just to let you know there. Also, Q2.com, we're going to launch that here this week. We hope we're ready. We'll see how that's going to go. I guys told you before that my to-do list was just ginormous. It's down to like two or three things. I've actually gotten caught up, which is nice. What have you guys been thinking about the QRC codes I've been putting in the show notes? You guys been using those at all? Make sure you keep scanning them, because I'm not maybe this show or next show, but at some point in the future, I'm going to slip one in there that will lead to a contest. And so definitely be playing with those QRC codes with your cell phones. All right. A Gadget Professor had a great show last week. Hope you check that out. And Saturday Morning Tech that we had an excellent hangout on Google Plus. I mean, it was really, really good. And probably one of the best, Saturday Morning Techs we've had. And the guys that were on were absolutely fantastic. I'm going to bring them back on board, and we're going to do it again with them and see how their schedules lined up. And, it was really good. And the guys that are, one of the guys is from Jacksonville, and he's actually a retired Navy Master Chief, and him and I kind of talked shop a little bit. So we knew a lot of the same people. It's kind of weird. It's a small world. I didn't even realize that he figured out was, he said, I see a Navy anchor back there. Were you a chief? And I was like, yeah, I was a retired senior chief. So we got to chat, and it was kind of fun. But long story short, had a great Saturday Morning Tech. So if you haven't watched it, please subscribe to it. Just a great conversation it was. I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on how that show's been going. I know the numbers continue to skyrocket, and I'm really happy with the growth. All right, let's go ahead and take care of one last piece of business here, and then we're going to get into the full-blown show. We'll do the Steve Jobs stuff from those of you that called in to talk about that. And let me see if I can find the right page and bring this up. Yes, that is it. Let's see if we can bring the right. Here we go. You guys know that everyone today is really on the go in a big way. You know, I look at my gas bill alone every month and say, my goodness, I'm on the road that much. And here in Hawaii, you know, it's not like it's a huge place, but we put as many miles on our vehicles here as you do in your communities. But holding an impromptu meeting, it can really be impossible. And it's, you know, it was used to be, you'd have to schedule somebody, they'd have to be in the office, you'd have to go visit them, or you just have to do a whole bunch of stuff, jump a bunch of hoops to make it happen, but really not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join any computer or an iPad, and now from an iPhone or any Android mobile device as well. And with the free GoToMeeting app, anyone can attend your session online, can attend your online meeting sessions. They just tap the email invitation, they'll instantly join. It's that easy. So it's real cool. It's simple to use on the app. And, and this new GoToMeeting app is absolutely fantastic. You know, I can see the host desktops right from my smartphone or tablet. I can attend a meeting on the go while in taxi, waiting at the airport, whatever. And the key is to avoid having to go to the airport. And you guys know that I highly recommend GoToMeeting. It's going to change the way you work. And I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. So all you got to do is go to the App Store or Android Market to download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And also, you can host your own meetings for free for 30 days by visiting GoToMeeting.com. And really, all you got to do is click on the Try It Free button. And that's the easy part. Click on the Try It Free button. And then when you get into the page that gives you the information, put your name and your email address. You're going to put in the promo code PODCAST, PODCAST. And you're going to give yourself a 30-day free trial on me. And I want to thank all of you to give GoToMeeting a try. Again, GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Okay. So what I want to do is get into these calls that came in to the voicemail hotline. We had three listeners that called in and has some feedback. And again, I did kind of my small eulogy last week to, did I kill that? Or let's bring that back up. I did my small eulogy to Steve Jobs last week on the last show. And this is kind of my way to let you guys just talk about it. And there's about 5 minutes of audio here. Normally we play these at the end of the show, but for the first time ever, we're going to play these in the beginning. And then we're going to go ahead and get into the full-blown tech content, which I have a huge amount for you. So let me go ahead and we'll play the first one. And then actually we'll play it through all of them. And then we'll come back and I'll have any additional comments, and we'll get into the rest of the show.
and I've been a long-time listener, but I'd never called. I started listening to you since, let's say when I first heard you, it wasn't the early date, but when I first heard you, you were promoting that Get Ready for Show 64, and that's when you promoted your book, which I do have. Never have done podcasting, though, but that's not the reason I called. I'm also an internet radio disc jockey, and I'll leave a message sometime explaining all of that. Anyway, the reason I called is about Steve Jobs, and this is kind of a weird situation. I can't believe it happened. I live in San Leandro, California, which is near Oakland. Now, I work at a computer technician at a housing project, and we have two days a week we teach kids about computers and how they can benefit from them and better their lives, because like I said, it's a housing project, so most of these people don't have a lot of money. And we try to show them how to fix computers and then hopefully teach them how to gain something to get out of that area. Anyway, we were watching, and this is no joke, we were watching, my teacher brought his laptop with a projector, and we watched this documentary from Bloomberg, I don't know, I guess he got it off the net, about Steve Jobs and how he started Apple and how he, you know, created the company and how he left, was ousted out of the company and how he put back into the company. I think the video is about a couple of years old, I'm guessing. Well, I mentioned the iPad was the last thing. And that was on Wednesday. And we were talking about him and everything. And right after that, I was taking the bus because I'm legally blind, so I had to take the bus. And I was taking the bus, and a thing came on my iPod Touch saying that Steve Jobs had died. And it was just ironic. It was just weird. I didn't expect that. I called him and told him, and he couldn't believe it either. So I guess we were watching a documentary about him the day he died and didn't even realize that would ever happen. So I thought I'd share that with you. I would call again from time, and if you don't mind, tell a little bit about me, which sure. I think is kind of, you know, if you don't mind, and how your show has benefited me and what I do. Thank you. Anyway, have a good day. Bye.
And I've got something good for you later, too, so I'm visually
impaired. Hi, John. It's Joe from Oklahoma. I'm just following your instructions, and I paused the podcast to give you my thoughts on Steve Jobs, and I think we have lost our generation's Thomas Edison. There are people you can name that invented one thing and perfected it and made it very wonderful, but how many people other than a Steve Jobs or a Thomas Edison worked so hard to create so many things that make our lives better? That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Here, here.
Todd, hi, this is Clint. Just want to tell you that I really liked your tribute to Steve Jobs. And it's interesting how much Steve Jobs has really contributed to society, especially in this last few years. He has raised the bar for the cell phone, for the computer, for the operating system, for anything computer. He has really made an indelible mark on our society for now and for generations to come. And when Steve Jobs stepped down from Apple, and he sounded very much like Joel Osteen when he said that Apple's brightest days are out ahead of them. And I do believe Apple's brightest days are ahead, because if you remember, if you don't remember how many years it's been since Walt Disney passed away, and Disney has lived on and grown because people had that same vision and carried it forward like Walt had. And there will be visionaries that will come after Steve Jobs that will take Apple to the next level and the next level. So I certainly think that we've lost a person, but we've not lost the vision that he has left on our society. I think that Steve Jobs has made his mark on generations to come. And I cannot be happy to live in a time that I live in now where we have been the beneficiaries of such a genius, of such one as Mr. Jobs. Keep up the good work. Enjoy the show. Have a great day.
Hey guys, to everyone that called in, thanks for taking the time to do so. Whoops, let's shut the music off. For those of you who took the time to call in, I want to thank you for doing so. I'm going to kind of wrap up the, you know, I think everything that could be said has been said by a lot of people in a lot of places. And so now it's essentially time to move forward. But thanks everyone for calling in. I appreciate you guys doing so. And just taking a few minutes to hear what your guys' thoughts were on your side of the fence. And it is greatly appreciated that you did. So look forward to hearing you guys on future calls for future topics as well. All right, let me go ahead here. And we're already long into the show, but I got a stack of stuff here for you tonight. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is, you know, we've seen the demise of the music store. We've seen demise already of the Barnes and Nobles and the, you know, basically those properties are starting to get hammered heavily. And that may not necessarily, you know, it's, you know, those types of businesses are really being impacted. And Amazon has been one of those companies that has really, you know, made a negative impact to the mom and pop bookstores, you know, everyone that's in that business, but they're just now starting to make an impact in the publishing business. When I was approached to write my first book and basically talk about podcasting, the, you know, that process I went through, even though that contract was put together in record time, I think it was about a month. But from the time they said, we want you to write a book on podcasting, and this was Wiley that I wrote my book through, to the time that we signed the contract and we had the dollar amount written down there and the what the royalties would be and so forth, that was pretty fast. And then the actual writing of the book was even more amazing because we knocked it out and knocked it out in 90 days, and then it went to press, and it, you know, went from an idea to basically being on the street in a little less than 5 months. And that just doesn't happen in the normal publishing world. So Amazon now is starting to go after major authors, big name authors that have a record of doing well. And they're essentially saying, hey, we want to make you a deal. And we want to make your book, new book, available digitally. We're going to sign a royalties deal with you. We'll actually put your book out also in paperback as well. So what's happening now is we've got a guy by the name of Barry Eisler who waited for like 4 or 5 months from his to work with his primary publisher, trying to get a contract and everything together. And so he turned down a $500,000 advance for two books from St. Martin's Press in March and has made the move to publish on his own. And basically do a deal with Amazon. So here we've got these well-established, long-in-the-tooth companies that are now, Amazon's basically saying, hey, if you can make a book deal, I can make a book deal, and now this is another business. So not only are we going after in the publishing business, they're going after already killing the bookstores, per se, but now they're going to go out and they're going to take a swipe at the actual big publishing houses. And it's actually for those of you that are aspiring writers, and believe me, I wouldn't have got through my book if I had not had a copy editor, technical review person, and going through two or three different revs. And, you know, you guys see by my blog posts, there are times when, oh, yeah. So, you know, it's basically that copy editor is the person that does all the English checking and says, this doesn't make sense. And, you know, you have to go back and fix it. Long story is here that Amazon is offering a really deal to authors of the best of both worlds. Number one, the author gets more control. Book gets out digitally immediately. It doesn't wait months. There's not necessarily a hardback that goes out, but when it's time for a paperback edition to be available for those that still like paper, it's available. And it is an interesting thing. He says that to say that publishers really care passionately about books as though they are concerned about what's better for the world, I'm sure when they look in the mirror, they feel that way. But in fact, what they care about is preserving their own position, perks, and profit. That's just what establishment players come to do over time. Now, when the situation was a little different in 2005, there wasn't ebooks. There wasn't this whole digital industry. It was just starting to get off the ground. And my book was actually made available as an ebook later on. But if I had been an established author, I could have made at least just on book value, and because I know how many books were sold, I could have made what would have been the number? 400 times what I was paid as an advance and what I got in royalties. I would have made at least 400% more. Yeah, at least that much based on the number of books. I think we sold 47,000 copies of Podcasting to Do It Yourself Guide. And that's an amazing, now I'm not complaining. I was given a great opportunity and it opened a lot of doors and, you know, got a recognition in New York Times and everything else. But at the same point, you know, that's the only one I've done. And to do another one, you know, would it make sense for me to just do it and have an ebook? Maybe, but at the same time, I will say that Wiley's PR arm was fantastic. Now, Amazon, on the other hand, and of course, I had my own PR from this audience, but at the same time, what will happen now is Amazon will start to fill that role. And it's kind of cool to see. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on whether or not you think publishing as it's traditionally been known is dead and how that's going to be affected. And you just wonder if that's going to move into school books as well. If that's going to be, you know, something that will happen. But kind of an interesting thought process there on what they've decided to do. One thing I do want to share with you is that, I've been a big fan on Google Plus, been using it a lot, been having some great discussions, getting great. I mean, it's just this huge resource. Following people that I would not normally be able to really kind of see what their thoughts and processes are and have these little private circles that I follow. But the folks over at dailymail.co.uk are basically saying that traffic has plunged for Google Plus and 60% of the users have logged off. And I find this to be remarkable that it's really happening, that many people have dropped off since September 20th when they opened it to everyone. And I really don't understand. Maybe it's just too many of us early geeks in there having too many geeky discussions. But you do have to manage your circles. And, you know, the key to the having a great time in Google Plus is they may not circle you back, but to go out and look at, you know, I got this circle of 262 people that are nothing but venture capitalists, CEOs, you know, big people in the tech industry that are just worth watching what they talk about. I've got another circle that is women in technology. I've got a whole circle on them. I have fans of the show. I've got content creators that I know, my Geek News Central team, and it's just all these individual micro discussions. And I may not want to see what a specific group says every day, but I can click in there and I can real quickly go back through the topics of interest and find stuff that's good and reshare stuff that I think is good and make comments. I believe Google Plus will be the number one growth thing for this show this year, based on what we've seen an increase in numbers just from the time we've been on Google Plus. So, you know, it's sad that this number's dropping, but, you know, what has you guys' experience been? Are you on? Have you been messing around? Do you even care? Are you just hanging out on Facebook? And, you know, the Facebook conversations, I feel like I'm missing half the Facebook conversations because of the changes they've made. So, anyway, long story short, I'm completely enthralled still with Google Plus. Today, the folks over at Twitter, boy, I tell you, they have just went and done it. Well, they announced via tweet, we're about to start wrapping all, I repeat, all URLs, regardless of their length, with the T.co URL wrapper. So from now on, anything that you put on Twitter, whether or not it points to abc.com, whether it points to Facebook.com, GeekNewsCentral.com, Google Plus, whatever it is, they're going to be tracking it, and they are going to rewrap it with T.co. It's just, this is maddening. It really is. And they have essentially basically told Bitly, go away. So what I've been, you know, so I've been trying some experiments. What I've been doing is taking a Bitly URL shortener, and I've been putting that into Twitter and let Twitter shorten the Bitly one. So basically what you do is you bounce out of twitter.t.co, you go to Bitly, Bitly bounces you then to the actual destination. And at least I'm getting some tracking and know, you know, how that's really happening. But yeah, Twitter's basically thumbed their nose, and at this point, everything is going to be wrapped in the Twitter shortener. So I don't know. What do you guys feel about that? Do you think that it's within their right? Do you think it's wrong? You know, I've basically warned you guys all before that, you know, all of these sites, if any of one goes down, you're going to have thousands and thousands, well, not maybe personally, I'm going to have thousands and thousands of links that will go dead. But at the same time, what will we do? I guess, if, you know, I don't think Twitter's going away anytime soon, but it does make you sit back and think a little bit about who's controlling the URL to what destination and what it's doing to your Google juice and into your ranking. Is people going to be finding your post on Twitter before they find your post on your website? Or on your public Facebook page, where are they going to find that first? And then are the people going to have to link out to get to that? So we're going to have to watch that within Twitter itself as well in the search results. Let's talk a little bit about an article that's over on the New York Times. And I'll be honest with you tonight, guys, I'm like dying. I spent all day in the sun today wearing my SPF 70. And before the show, I pounded myself a Red Bull. And my wife was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, I could just crash right now. So I think I got way too much sun today. Cooked my brain. But let's move on to this New York Times article. Free text pose threat to carriers. Of course, Apple was going to be introducing a new service called iMessage. And this could be a pretty big fish in the pond and could make an impact. So there's only 2 trillion text messages sent each year in the United States, and that generates $20 billion in revenue for the wireless industry. Verizon Wireless alone generates as much as $7 billion a year in revenue from texting, or about 12% of the total of their total revenue is made from texting. Now, so you take all the iPhones and you start doing iMessage, and I'm sure someone is going to build an API to cross platform that so you can get to an Android. If they do that, you know, are you guys going to drop your text plans? Or are even they going to let you drop your text plans? So I'm curious to see how iMessage is going to work and how big the adoption is. And of course, it's not going to help you when you're trying to text a family member that doesn't have an iPhone, or maybe even a phone that's not even a smartphone. So I don't think it's going to kill texting very much, but it's going to definitely make an impact, because there's probably some families out there that have nothing but smartphones. But we'll see where this happens. So at 20 cents for 160 character message, you know, you do a few of those if you're not on unlimited plan, it makes you go, I wonder if I should use this other service. So we'll see how much this cuts into their profits. Love to hear what you guys think as well. And you can always email me at geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Well, Netflix has made a complete reverse course. And actually, 2 of our writers at Geek News Central wrote about this today. They were pretty hot on it. Susabel wrote, "Thrusters on reverse, full speed back." And then and Jeffrey wrote, "Netflix kills Quickster. DVD by mail, still Netflix suffers $200 a share loss." So I didn't see what they what their stock closed at, but apparently it dropped. But they're going to kill Quickster. That didn't last too long. I had a feeling by as much negative feedback as they got. First of all, they did this huge price change, and which my wife has now just asked me, did Netflix have a price change? I'm like, yeah, honey, they did. She goes, oh, that was pretty big. How much is it costing us now? So she's looking at the Netflix bill and, you know, comparing to what she could be getting with TV if we turned the cable back on. And then at the same time, you know, he makes this change and says, okay, we're going to split the two companies up and Netflix is going to be streaming only and Quixer is going to be the place to get your DVDs. You wonder how much money they spent on that whole process. But now, oh, we're not going to do it no more. We're going to stay with Netflix. I think this was a smart move. I think it was an ill-thought-out idea to begin with. It keeps us all on a single page, keeps one payment going. You know, if you're using an OTT box and you get streaming and you want DVDs, because that's what we do. We do both. This is, you know, it's a no-brainer for me. So I'm glad they reversed course. I'm not going to penalize them for doing so. But we'll see if they bring on games and something like that. You know, it's where you can start renting games now. That's was something that they were going to do anyway with Quixer. So hopefully they'll do that with a Netflix DVD by mail delivery. We'll just have to keep an eye on it. Boy, there's a lot of controversy going on. Switching gears here, there's a lot of controversy going on in Germany right now. There's a hacking group. It's actually called the Chaos Computer Club. They have claimed that they have reverse engineered the lawful interception Trojan used by German law enforcement. Apparently, they got this program after a lawyer whose client was under investigation gave this Chaos Computer Club his hard drive where the group found the code. And this is what they have to say. The analysis concludes that the Trojan's developers never even tried to put in technical safeguards to make sure that the malware can exclusively be used for wiretapping internet telephony as set forth by the Constitution Court. On the contrary, the design included functionality to clandestinely add more components over the network right from the start, making it a bridgehead to further infiltrate the computer. Now, this refutes the claim that an effective separation of just wiretapping internet telephony and a full-blown Trojan is possible in practice or even desired, commented a CC speaker. It says, our analysis revealed once again that law enforcement agencies will overstep their authority if not watched carefully. In this case, functions clearly intended for breaking law were implemented in this malware. They were meant for uploading and executing arbitrary code on the target system. Says the government malware can, unchecked by a judge, load extensions by remote control to use a Trojan for other functions, including but not limited to eavesdropping, the complete control over the infected PC. Owing to poor craftsmanship that went into this Trojan, it's open not just to the agency that put it there, but everyone. It could even be used to upload falsified evidence against the PC owner or delete files, which puts the whole rationale for this method of investigation into question. This is some scary stuff. Here you've got, and you know, a government agency that has the ability to execute a wiretapping legally, putting a Trojan on these folks' computers, and then yet this Trojan goes beyond what is dictated is allowable by the court. Now, whether or not it's being done, I don't know. We know that for years, government agencies have been asking Skype for a back door. In the U.S., the FBI has been pushing hard for these types of things for a long, long time. But if this is actually happening with German law enforcement, you can almost bet that this is happening here in the United States as well. But it's pretty scary because we didn't find quite what we wanted to find on that guy's computer, but we need to make our case, and I'm trying to advance my career, so let's just drop this file on that computer. It's some scary stuff. It really is. And there's nothing you can do to stop some rogue element. Now, you know, if you're a criminal, then you're going to get your day in court. But at the same point, if there's no government oversight on what is allowed to be done by these types of Trojans and malware and stuff that's placed on people's computers, it really starts to get where people should be a little bit paranoid, I think. And the CCC group says, again, the government malware can, unchecked by a judge, do all these extra things. And they felt that the German Trojan had serious security holes, and it was doing screenshots, capture audio files, snapping pictures with a camera without people knowing the camera was on, all kinds of stuff. So, wow. And, you know, here's another thing. They said that the security on this was so bad that an attacker could have consumed control of the computer with just hardly any work at all. So makes you go, doesn't it? So we'll see where this leads. But definitely a big issue, at least in Germany at this point. And we'll keep abreast of what they find out. On copyright infringement, did you know Beyonce may get sued for copyright infringement just because of the way she danced? Yeah, someone is trying to copyright some specific dance moves. I just don't get that one. I really don't. There's a new feature, a new thing called Snap Tags. And let me show you what they look like. Of course, you all know what QR codes look like because I've been putting them on some blog posts here recently. But let me bring this up for you. And essentially what you've got is, if you look in, for those of you that are watching, if you look in the left-hand part of this article, they've got a Facebook icon with a circle with dots in a certain position. And this is basically a Snap Tag. It's basically, it passes information through the positioning of the dots in the circle. It's all outlined, and this obviously would take you to a Facebook page. And you can do these for Twitter and a variety of other different applications. But they're making them from Facebook. They're making for Twitter. They're going to be putting these in magazines. So essentially, this is just additional types of codes that you can scan to go to different websites and so forth. I think the QR codes have been, you know, ramped up pretty well. But they're saying there's a lot of other third-party solutions out there that are making headway as well. So just keep you aware that you may see a Snap Tag, and I don't know if there's even any apps out there right now to utilize these yet. I'm sure there has to be, but we'll see where this leads and how it compares to QR codes at this point. Well, Anonymous, they were going to do their big hack attack against Wall Street today, and I guess they were effective in hampering the New York Stock Exchange just for a couple of minutes, very, very briefly. So everyone is kind of, well, big try there, Anonymous. You did a great job. So that obviously did not pan out as well for them as they thought it would. It doesn't help when you announce it. And, of course, I'm sure they had all their security folks and all their network administrators ready to pounce on any kind of weird traffic. But about 2 minutes, the websites were affected. I think the only one that was actually affected wasn't even the New York Stock Exchange. It was the Chicago Mercantile was affected a little bit. But I guess it wasn't, they didn't do what they had planned on. Hey, good news for those of you living in areas that don't have Verizon 4G. They're launching in a whole bunch of cities on October 20th. And if you live in Birmingham, Modesto, Stockton, Fort Myers, Bloomington, Elkhart, Indiana, Evansville, South Bend, Terre Haute. So Andy, hey, Andy, you're good there, friend. You're going to have LTE soon. Sioux City, Iowa, Hagerstown, Maryland, Tupelo, Mississippi, Albuquerque, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's great. Buffalo, New York, Asheville, North Carolina, Bartsville, Oklahoma, Jackson and Martin, Tennessee, Greater Hampton Roads and Richmond, Virginia, Green Bay, Wisconsin. They're also expanding the 4G LTE network further in Los Angeles, San Diego, Washington, D.C., and Erie, Pennsylvania. And then on Thursday, November 17th, they're going to roll out Little Rock, Savannah, Georgia, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, Iowa, Lexington, Kentucky, Kansas City, Springfield, Missouri, Lincoln, Nebraska, Orange County, New York, Greater Providence, Rapid City, South Dakota, Roanoke, Virginia, Appleton, Wisconsin. So you're going to see, and also they're going to be expanding Grand Rapids, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, and Nashville. So they're saying at this point, for these rollouts, are going to be have half the country covered with LTE, Verizon LTE. So pretty cool stuff. Hey, I got a great video here of a space event where there was a M-class solar flare. And it's a time-lapsed, a one-minute video over about a two-hour period. So it's, you know, it's really condensed, but it's pretty amazing what the sun can eject from itself. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. A form that's been making its way around the internet here over the past two or three days is a general declaration form that was used back in the 60s and apparently was used here in Hawaii when Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin and Michael Collins, and yes, we you know who that is, went to the moon and back in July of 1969. So apparently they had to clear customs before they were allowed to come back into the United States. They declared moon rock, moon dust samples. They declared their health as none and any other conditions which may lead to the spread of the disease. They put to be determined, and this is actually signed by someone. I'm thinking to myself, that's government bureaucracy at its best. If that's actually a true document and not turns out to be some sort of a, false flag, I guess. Hey, over in Gizmodo, and those of you that are vision impaired, this is big. And this app that they are demoing on this website could make tablets accessible to the blind. We know that the Braille system has allowed blind people to read and read the written word since 1825. Sadly, Braille doesn't translate well to the glass smoothie screens of touch tablets. So there's a new app that thinks they can change this. And really what they do is the actual... tablets are smart enough to know where people's fingers go, and they're actually able to adjust the people's hands, and actually you can almost use it as a keyboard. The app is created by the NMSU, and what college is that? Let me look here. It's at New Mexico State University undergraduate Adam Duran and Stanford assistant professor Adrian Liu. And also a Stanford doctoral candidate called Sohan Dajarma were able to put together in a two-month time this app. And it's still a prototype, but they, if it's able to bring it to market, they feel this could be a step forward for the blind. This is big. What they're showing, no standard Braille writer can do this. So they got a great video. So I have the link up in the show notes. It's over on Gizmodo, but exciting stuff. And anytime we can bring new tools to the vision and hearing impaired, I think it's really important. I really do. TDK is talking about being able to double hard drive capacity. This is an article that was written by Alan Buckingham here at Geek News Central. And essentially what they're saying is, and they're experimenting in their labs, of course, TDK, you know, TDK is not necessarily known for making hard drives. I think they were more known for making cassette tapes back in the day. But essentially what they're saying here, they're putting together a new technology called HAMR. It's heat-assisted magnetic recording, and they use a laser. And what they do is the laser is combined with a new way of making the drive platters. And apparently TDK has successfully used the technology to basically put 2 terabytes on what a 1 terabyte drive would have held originally. And this is basically way out there on the science front. But, if we're going to keep Moore's Law moving, this is the type of stuff we have to see happening. But that would be cool. You know, we got 2 terabyte, 3 terabyte drives now. And to be able to double the size of those, we need them. We've all got all kinds of storage requirements. Well, Facebook app is finally out for the iPad. I actually checked the App Store and could not find it because I wanted to get it on and actually and look at it a little bit. But a lot of HTML5 components on the iPad app. You can get access photos, your friends, your news stream, and so forth. But the folks over at Business Insider has said that Facebook has essentially caved to Apple on its new mobile platform. So what developers were hoping was to be able to do purchases right on the mobile device with the iPad without having to go through the App Store. And basically, Facebook is not going to let developers use Facebook credits on the iPhone or iPad. If you want to buy or use Facebook credits, you're still going to have to go to the Facebook.com website, log in, and do it that way. You're not going to be able to do it through the app itself. They're not willing to give Apple that 30%. But another thing they're doing with this is that when you bookmark something or you're playing a game, it'll cross over into your web profile so that you can easily get access to it when you get back on the internet. Now, HTML5 was a big part of this new app's development. So a lot of the stuff you're seeing on there and some of the games they're supporting now are completely HTML5. You can't even tell that you're not using an app. It's all within a web browser. One of the examples they give is a poker game where it's basically you can play a poker on the, it's not an app, it's just a native HTML5 application. So some very cool stuff here that's happening at Facebook as far as their mobile stuff goes. So we'll see where this leads, but I'm excited finally to see it, and it's, gosh, taken forever to get an iPad app for the Facebook, and they don't have to use that little tiny one anymore. And a very interesting move by the folks over at Warner Brothers, they have basically closed what they're calling the HBO window. Warner Brothers has confirmed it will no longer be beholden to rights that would see its movies disappear from streaming sites while those titles are available on HBO and the HBO Go web and mobile application. The closing of this so-called HBO window is really going to help all of us that want to be able to consume digital content on an equal footing basis. So this is kind of awesome. This was an article that was written over at GigaOhm.com. So I think this is a big deal. It was actually in their new TV section as well. Great article here on trends that are basically shaping the future of mobile advertising. And you know, mobile is the frontier now where advertisers are hot on and trying to sell to us. But what they say is coming to mobile advertising, and whether we like it or not, they're going to be doing more relevant behavioral tracking. They're going to be doing a lot more in the mobile search department to make it location specific. They're going to be providing better analytics and specifically greater interactivities. In other words, you walk by a store, you might get pitched for a special within a store. And then mobile social is the personal cloud and how everything is, right now where our mobile world's colliding with our web-based world and how that's going to be merged together a lot more and how things are going to be pretty seamless from one device to the other. So we'll see what happens with the mobile advertising, but they believe they're going to be able to get a lot more of us to click on a lot more ads and react to their marketing promises. There's a couple of indicators right now that the economy may be basically flatlined that we normally wouldn't look at. And there was two charts. One is the utilization of electricity within the United States. And you see basically electricity climbing starting in September of 2009 and then basically kind of peaking out in September of 2010 and then starting to dip and go down. Ever since December 2010, it's just been going down, down, down to where we're at in 2011, and we basically are at the same levels we were in 2007. So it just kind of shows this flatlining. Well, at the same time, the FedEx and UPS ground shipments are steadily on the decrease, basically down 3-4% for the second quarter of 2011. So if that gives indication of where the economy is, FedEx shipments and the amount of electricity we're using as in the United States is definitely on the decline here. For those of you that shop online, they're saying a third of consumers will spend more online in-store this year than they did last year, and I think that makes pretty good common sense. But also, a lot of people are still worried about security issues and using their credit card online, so I got a good article here to point you at to kind of give you some infographic data on you know, basically securing your credit card, some things, best practices to use. The Daily Dot has a good article talking about Reddit shutting down a specific section of their website that was quite controversial. And all I will say is the title of the web section was called Jailbait. And Reddit has done the right thing here and finally pulled that specific category. You can imagine the type of materials that were potentially being traded over there. So good of Reddit to do that. Runny nose, excuse me. Hey, Twitter is settling, I guess, with its lawsuit with the company called TwitAd, and they have they're going to get the tweet trademark. So now you won't be able to use the word tweet without being in violation of Twitter's trademark. There's a good article on the Wall Street Journal talking about Steve Jobs' biological father and basically an interview that he had. This has been covered a couple of different places, but I'll have that link up in the show notes. And doesn't sound like Steve Jobs' biological father got much of any type of, well, never really any contact per se from his son. So there's a story there, that's for sure. I'm sure that will be dug into a little bit deeper. Hey, iPhone 4S pre-orders have suggested 3 million sales at launch, 25 million this quarter. So people are not slowing down and buying the iPhone 4S. They're moving forward with haste. Another article here talking about, let's see here, let me get this loaded up. Oh, this is a, this was making the rounds this weekend. It's about a Chrome remote desktop beta. And this is, you know, if you think about this, you know, we've promoted Go to My PC. As a matter of fact, I use Go to My PC quite a bit. It's my default remote access application. And what I like about it is even though I travel with them, have a, multiple different computers, I can deactivate one and turn another one on when I need to, and it works out well. But Chrome has a remote desktop beta, and basically, just anyone that's got this loaded, you can access their computer. And there has to be a little communication that goes back and forth, but this just runs on the browser. So you can give someone access to a MacBook or a Windows machine or even a box running Ubuntu. So very interesting move here by on this desktop control software. And I just hope this thing is really locked down security-wise. But the extension's been downloaded over 30,000 times. It's been getting some pretty strong ratings by the users of it. So far, no charge to it. So this is definitely a business impact to companies that that we know well on this show. Hey, Napster founders are returning with what they're calling the Airtime Startup. The two founders of the original Napster music sharing service are teaming up for another startup. What they're going to be doing here is apparently it's going to be some sort of thing akin to Chat Roulette. But it'll have some sort of social network attached. So they've raised about $8 million already. You know, these guys just go in and say, hey, I need some money. And the VCs write them a check. I need one of these guys on some teams. I'm stuff I'm building for sure. Hey, write me. I just need $3 million. At five, we'll do 10. We'll take 10. That'd be great. Not surprisingly, Apple iOS devices dominate U.S. data traffic. 97.2% of all tablet traffic is generated by the iPad, where 58.5% of all mobile traffic is developed by iOS iPhones. So this is huge. So Apple is dominating definitely in the tablet and, you know, holding their own within the actual mobile traffic as well. Got a kid that's smart in science. Does he have an idea? Is he a big thinker? YouTube and Lenovo has come up with a science contest called Space Lab for students around the world ages 14 to 18. And for one of the students, you're going to be able to develop a science project that's going to go to the International Space Station. So this is some cool stuff here. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's covered in the New York Times. All the details are there and how to get involved. Some videos about it are there as well. Hey, good news. The Governor Jerry Brown of California has vetoed the bill that would require officers to get a search warrant. Did I say that right? California governor vetoes ban on warrantless phone searches. We talked about this on the last show. So he says he has vetoed the bill that would require officers to get a search warrant. So in other words, does that mean they don't have to before searching cellular phones and arrested citizen? This further enables we talked about this already. So I don't know why Slashdot was so late on it. I thought it was that the governor had vetoed them being able to actually do that, but I guess not. It just amplifies what we talked about in the last show. My bad. If you are listening to ESPN type of podcast, apparently some affiliates are delaying the publication of those podcasts on their websites to keep their ratings up. So be aware that you can always get any ESPN designated podcast at ESPN.com. You don't have to go through the affiliate website to do that, or the source affiliate that has the show. So that way you don't have to wait for a day to get content that probably will be old news by the time you get it the next. So anyway, just be aware of that if you're seeing some of your podcasts being delivered late by ESPN. Hey, the Pentagon's secret space plane could be astronauts' next ride. The Air Force is proposing that their X-37 be remodeled to the X-37B be remodeled to the X-37C, and they unveiled plans that would make this device nearly twice as long as the current B model, with a boost in payload, basically another space shuttle is what they're building here, but enough to hold 6 astronauts going to the International Space Station. So this is an interesting move. Whether or not they're going to get the budget money for it is a whole nother thing. But maybe Boeing will be willing to enter the space race business themselves and start building a commercial truck here that can do some work. Hey, there's a great article over on universetoday.com talking about a rover's eye view of the 3-year trek on Mars. So if you want to see my Opportunity Rover's 3-year trek across 13 miles of the Mirandani Planum on Mars, you can do so. It's made up of about 300 images. Shows you each step of the way as it was on its trek. Pretty cool stuff. Hey, a couple years ago, Gizmodo shut down a whole bunch of TVs at CES. Well, now, if you're an exhibitor, they've got a new device. It's called TV Be Gone. And it basically is a jammer. It's an IR jammer to prevent people from shutting your televisions off at a convention. Of course, you're not going to be able to do anything with your own remote control, but they've got a little bit of an IR jammer available for $19 online. So kind of surprising. I don't know if the FCC allows that or not. And if you want to see how police take pirates down, peer-to-peer pirates down in Hungary, I've got a great video over at torrentfreak.com. Showing the bust and the confiscation of lots and lots of hardware and 70 terabytes of videos and movies that were being made available online. Hey, if you're a T-Mobile user and you have a dead spot, in other words, you can't get the T-Mobile signal in your home, the folks over at Wilson Electronics have debuted the AWS-70 signal booster to bring life to your offices or home's T-Mobile zone. And I've used these types of boosters before. Wilson makes good products. It's a little pricey, $360. But if you want to get your T-Mobile signal where it isn't currently, there's a great way to do that. It costs you a few dollars for sure. Hey, Microsoft on the new Windows Phone is going to be coming out with a dual-core processor. That should not be any surprise to anyone. But that is forthcoming in some updated phone releases. And finally tonight, in my last kind of science tech content tonight, the X-47 Robo Stealth plane has done its first cruise flight. The Northrop Grumman Corporation's X-47B unmanned stealth plane basically took off and got to altitude and stayed there for a while. And this is going to be a carrier-based aircraft at some point. So I don't know. Pilots, you're going to be pretty much out of business here, and you're going to have civilians probably flying your aircraft on and off aircraft carriers. That's just crazy to me. All right, let me go ahead here and get real quick into email. We're doing okay on time considering how long we spent on this stuff earlier today. And let me look at the date of the last show. The last show was on the 6th, so I have to read any news after that. Got an email here from Larry. He says, hey, Todd, I know you said you were trying to lose some pounds. Yes, I am. This book goes through the science of weight loss and shows why low-fat and exercise method does not work. So anyway, he's got a link here to a book called Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It. I have that link up. It's in on Amazon. Got an email from Max on the CPAP machine. He says, hey, I travel with my machine without Instant. A friend of mine mentioned that TSA may ask you to open the pack and to turn it on to verify, but I don't think it came to that on my trip. So I think Mac's good on that. I knew that he can basically claim it as a medical device and he won't get any issues. And I got an email here from Tim. He says, this was the final reason why I left Netflix. I'll consider going back, but it might be too late. I like Blockbuster so far. And of course, this is in reference to them killing off Quixtar. So thanks for that comment there, Tim. And a final email is basically, it came in from via LinkedIn from Raymond. He says he's got a link up here, law enforcement on Twitter, who's tweeting and what? He says research shows 923 U.S. state and local law enforcement agencies with Twitter accounts. Based in analysis of those accounts, the research documented current practices, identified best practices, and recommended organizational policies for the setup as well as operation of official law enforcement on Twitter accounts. So he's going to link me over to an article over at police-writers.com. Thanks, Raymond, for sending that into the show. All right, well, we're done. And next show, we'll kind of be on back to a normal schedule, getting into content within the first 10 to 15 minutes of the show. But thanks for hanging with me. Thanks for watching. If you've got comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at +1-619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. You can follow me on Twitter, of course, at Geek News. And, of course, as a reminder, you know that you can follow me on Facebook, which is a great place to come over and follow. And, of course, you can just search for me as Todd Cochran on Facebook. And, of course, I'm the same place on Google Plus if you get over there. And, of course, again, available on Twitter at Geek News. Hey, it's been my pleasure to bring the show tonight. I look forward to being back with you on Thursday. And we are going to be shopping for a new host for Robot Underpants. Feel like creating some media? Feel like you've got a sense of humor? Can bring kind of a new spin on tech on Sundays? Love to talk to you. Again, got to have a sense of humor and have to be willing to kind of go outside the box a little bit. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you then. Aloha.